गौरचन्द्राय राधिकये तुदालये कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः यं प्राव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो बरःकातरया जुहाव भूत इति तन्मयतयो तरवो विनेदुसंसावभूत हृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि श्यां सौन्दर्शिकनिशिखर स्मरहास्मरणि मनोहर राधिकरसिक मम कृपनिधे स्वपीयचाणक्यं करीं कुरु भक्त्या विहीनाय अपराधलक्ष्ये चेयुक्ताश्च कामरितरङ्गमध्ये कृपामयि त्वं शरणं प्रपन्न वृन्दे नमस्ते चरणारविन्दं वृन्दे नमस्ते चरणारविन्दं त्वैवस्मि त्वैवस्मि न जीवामि त्वया विना इति विज्ञाय राधेयितं नमं चरणान्तिकम्. First of all, I offer my Sastang Dandavat Puspanjali, my heart like flowers, thousands of times, at the lotus feet of Asmadiya Paramarajatam Guru Pada Padma, Om Shupad Ashtotara Satasi Simad, Upanugacharya Varya Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. Secondly, I offer my pranam at the lotus feet of my Sri Rupanuga Gaudiya Guru Vagashi Guru Parampara, and I offer my pranam to all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. Vancha Kalputu Rusaki So as you may remember, last week we discussed how the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna, also the transcendental pastimes of Mahaprabhu, are going on eternally, simultaneously in the spiritual world. But that spiritual world is also not one-dimensional, but rather it has unlimited dimensions. They are called prakoshts, or chambers of lila, or prakash, manifestations of the holy dham. So the lila where Krishna or Mahaprabhu are changing location, going to place, is called swarasiki lila, and it's inaccessible for conditioned souls, it's for the advanced souls. But there are prakoshts, or chambers, wherein the Mahaprabhu and his associates are in one location, or Radha and Krishna and their associates are in one location, and they don't leave that location. So that is called Mantrupasanamai Leela Pit, and that is the aspect of Leela which is accessible by the sadhak in this world by mantra. And then once the living entity in this world, by the connection of mantra, by dhyan, becomes established in realization of that Leela Pit, then when that realization is mature, then that Leela Pit will begin to flow and it will become the Swarasiki Leela Pit. In other words, he will join in the pastimes as they move from place to place, location to location in the spiritual world. So, last week we also discussed how the Gayatri Mantra and the service of the deity through the mantras given by Guru is a way of meditating on the Mantrupasanamai Leela Pit. And there are many Leela Pits, but the one we meditate on for Radha and Krishna is the Vrindavan Yoga Pit, and for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Mayapur Yoga Pit. Mayapur Yoga Pit is in the house of Jagannath Mishra Bhavan, and there Mahaprabhu is situated with Nityananda Prabhu, Gadhara Pandit, Advaita Acharya, Shivas Thakur, and then the rest of their associates, the Panchatattva, are situated there. And so the Gaura Arati is the opportunity that we have every day to have a very intense meditation on the point of entrance into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. That is the Mayapur Yoga Pit. And so,
what does the word pit mean?
Pit. We described that last
yoga
week.
Yoga pit. Oh, means, I came in late, I'm sorry.
Yoga means meeting, and pit means just the place or the seat or the raised platform on which the Panchatattva come together. So here, specifically in Mantra Pasanamaya Lila Pit, it means just that dimension where that Lila is present. And in Swarasiki Lila Pit, it means that dimension in which the Lila is present. So now, Gaur Arti, we can begin. Kiba Jaya Jaya Gaura Chande Aroti Keshova Kiba Jaya Jaya Gaura Chande Aroti Keshova Janavi Atabone Jagamana Loba Janavi Atabone Jagamana Loba Joga Jane Omana Loba Joga Jane Omana Loba Joga Jane Omana Loba Gaurange Aroti Shoba Jagajane Mahana Loba Gaurange Aroti Shoba Jagajane Mahana Loba Janadi Akabane Jagajane Mahana Loba Janadi Akabane part of this ritual meditation that we perform every day is Jai Jai Gaura Chanda. All glories to Jai Jai means all glories. Especially may Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be victorious over my mind and my senses. Mind and senses are wandering around in the material world, and we want Mahaprabhu and his associates to conquer them and attract our senses towards his lotus feet. Here his name is Gaura Chander. Chander means he's like the moon. And here the name is given Gaura. Go means Govinda. Ra means Radha. He who is the combination of Govinda and Radha, he's called Gaura. So, all glories to Sri Krishna, who is absorbed in the mood of Radhika. His name is Gaura, Govinda Radha. So, his beautiful aratik is going on. Shobha means beautiful, and aratik means, this is a Bengali word for arti. The original word for arti was aratrika. Aratrika means trika, three things are being offered. Dup, deep, and pushpa. Actually, arti comes from the aratrika, and trika means three things are offered. Dup means incense, deep, like ghee lamps, and dup, deep, and pushpa, and flowers, originally. And then you can have worship with three articles, worship with six articles, 16 articles, especially 16 articles are very famous. So, here, Jaya Jaya Gaura Chande Aratika Shobha. Now, this Artik ceremony is just now taking place where Janavi Tata Bone Jagamana Loba. So before the meditation goes into the center, first here Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is setting the whole scene. Just like devotees know when you remember mantra, we don't begin to meditate on Radha Krishna first, the forest of Vrindavan and the Jumun is flowing. So here when we remember Yoga Pit in Mayapur, then first remember the Janavi. The Ganges is flowing, transcendental Ganges, full of lotus flowers, and bumblebees are humming loudly, madly intoxicated by the nectar of the lotus flowers. And On both sides of the Janavi River, there are bon, forests. So here, bonem is in the forest. Tata means on the banks, on the shores. So on the shores of the transcendental Ganga, there are beautiful forests full of flowers. Now Vrindavan has kadamba and tamal trees. Why? Because tamal trees are blackish, like Krishna, and kadamba trees have a fair complexion, like Radharani. So they're all over Vrindavan, there are kadamba trees and tamal trees standing in pairs everywhere, all over Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is Radhamoy, or Radha Krishnamoy, especially Radhamoy. The mood of Radharani is pervading all the atoms of Vrindavan. So when the wind blows and scatters the seeds and trees grow, because it never happened because all the trees are eternal. But if it were to happen, then what happens? The dark black tamal trees and white kadamba trees grow up in pairs everywhere. So when you go to Vrindavan and you look, it reminds you everywhere of Radha and Krishna. So Srila Gurudev said that in Vrindavan, Radha Krishna are present and tamal and kadamba are there. But in Navadvip, Radha and Krishna have become one in the form of Mahaprabhu. So in Navadvip, the tamal of Vrindavan and the kadamba tree of Navadvip have become one and become the katal tree in Navadvip, the jackfruit tree. So everywhere in Navadvip, beautiful golden jackfruit trees, like the combination of tamal and kadamba. So these trees are everywhere. Also, especially in Navadvip, there are many mango trees, beautiful mango trees, and cuckoo birds taking the nectar from the mango blossoms. So here, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur is inviting us to meditate on the beauty of the forests on the shores of the Ganges in Mayapur, and this beautiful arati, and also the forests there in Antadvip Mayapur, Jagamana Lobha. Jagamana Lobha means that all the living entities of the world, it is awakening their manalob, the greed within their hearts. So especially, one who will have the darshan of Mahaprabhu or have the darshan of Navadvip Dham, it will awaken greed, a greed to serve Mahaprabhu. And more than this, internally, it will awaken a greed to serve Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So it said, Yata yata gaura padara vinde, vindeta bhaktim krita punya rasi. Tatata tatsapati riti kasmad radam padam boja sudamburasi. Means that the degree to which one has a mood of service towards Mahaprabhu, to that degree, the nectar ocean of loving service to the lotus feet of Radharani is awakened in the heart. So it's very difficult to awaken love and affection for Radha and Krishna, but by serving Mahaprabhu, it automatically comes inside. So this is called Jagamana Lobha, the awakening of greed in the heart, by the remembrance of Navadvip and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained in his Navadvip Dham Mahatmya that service to Radha Krishna is in Madhuras, Shringarasa. So that rasa is very confidential. But service to Mahaprabhu is in which rasa? Dasya. But what happens is, the more one develops Dasya rasa, which is easier to comprehend, very easy to comprehend Dasya rasa, the more easier to comprehend Dasya rasa.
Service.
But the service mood, yeah. And as one is serving Mahaprabhu like a servant, simultaneously the Madhurati or Shringa rasa is awakened in the heart, as one is developing Dasyabhav towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Navadvip Dham is an astonishing place because it is said that Nitai Gora Chanda Nahi Esaba Vicha Nama Loya Prema Dena Bahaya Sudar. It means that if you chant the names of Radha and Krishna, then there's a consideration of aparad, offense. And so one may be chanting, but tears don't come. But in the chanting of the name of Gaur Nitai, then there's no consideration of offense. So those who chant Nitai Gauranga, Jai Nitai Gauranga, quickly their heart will be filled with love and tears will begin to flow from their eyes. So just as there's consideration of offense in Krishna Nam, but no consideration of offense in Gaura Nam, so similarly, there's consideration of offense to Vrindavan Dham, but there's no consideration of offense towards Mayapur Dham. So here, first we remember Mahaprabhu and his Dham, wherein there is no consideration of offense, and easily one can make advancement. So, it's also said that all the places of Radha Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan are present in Navadvip. The Antardvip is none different from Mathura, because that's Krishna's appearance place in Brahmanda, but also none different from Gokul, because Krishna appeared in Mathura and in Gokul at the same time. So Gokul and Mathura are present in Mayapur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. Then you have other places like Godrumdvip is none different to Nandagaon and Varsana, and Ritudvip is there you will find Radhakund, etc. And if you go to Koladvip, there you will find the place which is none different from Giriraj Govardhan. So when we examine the Vrindavan Dham, you see that Mathura is here, Vrindavan is here, Govardhan is over here, Radhakund is over here, Nandagaon is here, Varsana is there, Gokul is over there. And this is the way that Vrindavan is laid out. But when we look at Navadvip Dham, we see the places which are non-different from Vrindavan Dham, but they're all, as you know, Radhakund is next to Govardhan. But in Navadvip Dham, Radhakund is over here in Ritudvip, and Govardhan is over here in Koladvip, etc. So all the places are in a jumble everywhere. So why is it that, you know, in Brajmandal you have Vrindavan, Madhuvan, Bahulavan, Kamyavan, Kokilvan, Belvan, Badravan, except Mahavan, etc. And they go in a particular order. But when you go into Navadvip, all the vans, all the 12 forests of Braj are in a completely different order. They're all jumbled up. Why? Because it says, it's stated that Subhava Kutilabhavet, it means that the nature of Prem, Aheri Vagati Premna Subhava Kutilabhavet, that Prem moves like a snake. It's very, very crooked, the movements of Prem. So because of the intensity of Prem, which is manifested in Navadvip Dham, then the whole Dham has become crooked. With this forest moved over there, and that forest over there, and this forest over there. And everything becomes in different places. So, in the very first verse, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is inviting us to begin our meditation on the Dham, wherein the arti of Mahaprabhu is about to take place. So now we come to the next verse. Dakine nitai chan bome gadadara dakine nitai chan bome gadadara nikate adeta shehi vasa chatadara Dakine Nitai Chan, it means on Krishna's, on Mahaprabhu's right side is Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is in Brajlila Baldev, Krishna's brother. Bame Gadadhar, and on the left side, Gadadhar Pandit. The reason is because all the expansions of Bhagavan, they manifest from his right side. So whoever's on the right side of the Panchatattva, whoever's on the right side of the Panchatattva is will be Vishnu Tattva, an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And on the left side comes the Shakti Tattvas. So Gadadhar Pandit is incarnation of Radharani. So he's on the left side. And Srivas Thakur, then it says, Nikataya Dvaita Shuni Vasa Chattadara. Close by is Advaita Charya. That means he's actually close by, but he's in front and standing with folded hands like this, offering stavan stuti to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Advaitacharya is there. Advaitacharya is who?
Mahavishnu.
Mahavishnu. We can say that he's Mahavishnu, but Mahavishnu has two aspects. Just as Maya has the aspect of the Nimittakaran and Upadankaran. That means Nimittakaran aspect of Maya is called the Vidyabhriti and Avidyabhriti. That which gives knowledge or removes knowledge. And that which removes knowledge is called Avranatmika Shakti, that which covers your identity, who you are. Maya covers your identity. And then Prakshepatmika or Vikshepatmika Shakti then gives you objective consciousness. That means it throws the consciousness of the self away from the self into the world. So the function of the aspect of Maya that does that is called the Nimittakaran. Then we have the Upadankaran, the ingredient cause. That is the world itself, the gunas. The world is manifest by the gunas. Prakriti, Mahatattva, etc. So that is called the Upadankaran. So Nimitta is the operative cause of Maya, and the Upadankaran is the ingredient cause of the world, of illusion. So just as Maya has the Nimitta and Upadankaran, Mahavishnu has two aspects. The first aspect is Karnadakashai Vishnu, and he is the master of the Nimittakaran of Maya. But he has another aspect, which is the predominating deity of the Upadan aspect of Maya. And that Mahavishnu, that is Advaitacharya, not the first one. The Mahavishnu, who is the predominating deity of the Upadan Karan, and he's also known as Sadashiv. He's an aspect of Lord Shiva, who is Vishnu Tattva. And therefore, Advaitacharya, sometimes we hear that he's Shiva and sometimes we hear he's Mahavishnu. And this is why. Because he's not the Mahavishnu who's Karnabdi Shai Vishnu or Karnadaka Shai Vishnu. He's the...
Sure.
No. Karnabdi Shai Vishnu, Gavadaka Shai Vishnu, Kiraka Shai Vishnu. He's none of them. He's the aspect of the first one, Karnadaka Shai Vishnu. He has two aspects. So he's the aspect who presides over the Upadan Karan.
And that's the liberation of knowledge, or the unveiling?
No, that's the predominating deity of the ingredient cause of reality. Yeah, the Upadan Karan. Yeah. So this is the identity of Advaitacharya. It's mentioned that he is the, not Karnadakasha Vishnu, but the Mahavishnu who predominates over Upadan Karan in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the discussion of the identity of Advaitacharya. So, Advaitacharya, then, because this is Tattva, in Navadvipa Dham, he is, Mahaprabhu's guru is Ishwara Puri, and his guru is Madhavendra Puri. So Advaitacharya is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, actually. So the relationship between Mahaprabhu and Advaitacharya is that he sees, oh, he's my guru's godbrother. So Mahaprabhu has so much respect for Advaitacharya. But Advaitacharya is what's standing in front of him and giving respect to Mahaprabhu. So even though Mahaprabhu respects him as the godbrother of his guru, he respects Mahaprabhu as being the Radha Krishna themselves have descended to this world. So then Srinivasa Chattadara. Srinivasa is holding, he's standing behind Mahaprabhu and holding an umbrella above him. So in this way, one should do the arti and meditate on the yoga pit.
And that's Narada?
Srinivas Thakur, he is a very extraordinary personality. First of all, we can see him as the incarnation of Narad. Mm-hmm. But once when he was arguing in the mood of Narad with Saurabh Damodar at the Harapanchami festival, then Saurabh Damodar was defeating him. In the mood of Narad, he was saying, Lakshmi Devi is better than the gopis. And Saurabh Damodar was defeating him. And when he was defeated, then he started laughing and going like this. I can't do it. He was going like this and laughing. Why? Because, no, not a coward boy. He's also a Brahmin in Braj, but Madhumanga. So he's Narad. One mood is Narad, but deeper than this, in Vrindavan mood, he is Madhumanga. One thing is that Narad, you know, we give so much respect to Narad. And we can see Srivastakur as being Narad. But one of the very special things we should always remember about Narad is that he's the Diksha Guru of Purnamasi. So Yogamaya is the Leela Shakti who manifests all the pastimes. And Yogamaya's guru is Narad. Narad initiated her many years before she came to Braj. So Shivas Thakur, we say Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivas Adigur. Shivas Thakur is no lightweight personality. In the form of Narad, he's the guru of Yogamaya. So that's
extraordinary. And it's interesting, the kirtans go on at his home. So it's like he's like Yogamaya, he's like the foundation that holds all the Shakti.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So, anyway, he's holding the chatra above Mahaprabhu. Now, in the next verse, it says, Bosiyachi Gora Chanda Ratna Singhasane Arati Karena Brahma Adi Devagone. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gora Chand, here, nowhere in the sang do you find the word Chaitanya. Or even Gora, spelt G-A-U-R-A. Everywhere G-O-R-A, Gora, throughout the sun. In the first verse, in the third verse, and in the last verse. Bhakti no deke Gora sambada. Didn't notice before. So, anyway, that's why we study these kirtans. So we can open up all new things, because we sing them for many years. But we have to go very, very deep, and then it will become very... relishable.
There was a bit of a controversy but I thought I had heard Srila Sridhar Maharaj one time or twice say Nitai Gaura Gadadhar, but Tirtha Pada said no, it's not possible because that's Rasa Bhas. He would have said Nitai Gaura or Gadai Gaura.
Yeah.
So if you put them, so that's true, right?
To worship, you can say Gadada and Nityananda and Mahaprabhu in one sentence, like as we do in the Panchatattva Mantra. But if you're talking about a yugal, because there are worship of pairs, so you can worship Mahaprabhu and Vishnu Priya in Vaidhi Bhakti, and in Ragan, you can worship Gaur Nitai in Vaidhi Bhakti, or you can worship Gaur Nitai in Raganuga Bhakti if you're in Sakya Ras. But there's no worship of Gaur Nitai in Raganuga Bhakti if you're not in Sakya Rasa. The worship of Gora Yugal or Mahaprabhu in a couple in Raganuga Bhakti is Gaura Gadada, Gadai Gauranga.
Which opens up a whole other question. That's another tattoo.
So here, it's mentioned that Mahaprabhu, the Gora Chand, is sitting on Ratna Singhasan, a lion throne. That means that the legs of the throne are like lions' feet, like this. And on this particular seat, it's made of jewels. The back is lapis lazuli, and it has eight legs. And he's sitting there, and as he sits there, then Arati Karena Brahma Adi Devagane. The demigods, headed by Brahma, the four-headed Brahma, are offering arati, and offering prayers to Mahaprabhu. Now, the question is, are there any demigods in the spiritual world? Are there any demigods in the spiritual world?
Because Krishna told them to take birth, come to Vrindavan.
Well, they worship the demigods.
Wait, no. In this world, the demigods in the heavenly planets were disturbed. First, Mother Bhumi, the earth was being disturbed by demoniac forces. So Mother Bhumi went to Lord Brahma and prayed, and then Lord Brahma and all the demigods of this just one tiny universe. And they're all jivas, just like us, who've taken birth on higher planets. And one is the sun god, the moon god, and so many other demigods, Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, etc. And they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, and they prayed to Kiridakrishai Vishnu, oh, please help us. And they prayed to him, and he wouldn't speak to any of them. So then Brahma sat down in meditation, and a message came in his heart. And then Krishna said, all you demigods take birth on earth. So this was in the heavenly... Actually, that was in the... ocean of milk, the shore of the ocean of milk, Kirsagar. So that was within this material universe. It's not the spiritual world. Demigods are just jivas, like us, who've done lots of pious activities. And it's said that if you follow all the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma perfectly without making a mistake for 100 lifetimes, you can become Lord Brahma. Right? So the question is, in the spiritual world, are there any demigods?
No. But we say Surya Narayana.
It still means Lord Narayana, Vishnu.
That's also
in the sun. So the answer is, yes, there are demigods in the spiritual world. But they are not like Srila Jiva Goswami Pada in his commentary on Brahma Samhita. He explains that this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. So here the grass is green because there the grass is green. The sky is blue here because there the sky is blue, etc. And here there are demigods. We have demigods like Indra, Chandra, Surya. But what's the origin of their forms? The origin of their forms are the Nitya Siddhas. There are Nitya Siddha demigods in the spiritual world who take part in the Leela. For example, when Krishna is coming back from grazing cows in the evening, Brahma and the demigods appear on the path of the forest and share him with flowers and offer prayers. So this happens every day in the spiritual world in the Astakaliya Leela. But these are not demigods who, like Jivas, who have, by their karma, taken birth as a demigod and will be a demigod for 71 Divya Yugas until the next Manu changes, you know? Indra changes every 71 Divya Yugas. So, but these are actually Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect beings, who, in the spiritual world, that's their role. Just like it's someone's eternally a cowherd boy, someone's eternally a cowherd girl, someone's a motherly gopi, and a fatherly gopa, etc.
Maybe in Dastya then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, there are, and when Mahaprabhu comes to this world, then the actual demigods of the material, they get the chance also when he comes to this world to take part in some of his pastimes. So, the conception here is that when Mahaprabhu comes, it's not just a little event taking place somewhere in West Bengal. But when Mahaprabhu appears in this world, then all the great personalities and all the celestial sub-divinities ruling over all the elements of the whole universe, they all come and take part in it. Even though at the time, you know, it would have been probably the Elizabethan era in Europe at the time. Renaissance was going on. And many people would undoubtedly have never heard anything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So someone might say, who is he? But here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving the conception that all the demigods in the universe come and they take part in his Leela. Now, next verse. Narahari adhikari chamara dulai.
Narahari adhikari chamara dulai.
Sanjaya mukunda vasu goshadi gai.
Sanjaya mukunda vasu goshadi gai.
So, here, Narahari adhikari chamara dulai. Narahari, Adi means etc. So this is not only Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not referring only to Narahari, but he's the head of a group. So that group is the residents of Sri Kanda. There's the village where Mahaprabhu took sannyas is called Katwa. And 4 miles west of Katwa, there's a village called Sri Kanda. And the residents of Sri Kanda are very, very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this Narahari is Narahari Sarkar Thakur, not Narahari Chakravati Thakur. There are two famous Nariharis. Some people think this is Narahari Chakravati. It's not. Narahari Chakravati Thakur is the author of Bhakti Ratnakar, and he's a disciple of Vishwanath Chakravati Thakur. So he's much later. This Narahari Sarkar Thakur was born in a family of physicians, Ayurvedic doctors, a Vaidya family, in Sri Kanda. And the other members of this group of the residents of Sri Kanda include Sri Mukunda, Raghunandan, Chiranjeev, Sulochan, Damodar Kaviraj, Ramachandra Kaviraj, and Govinda Kaviraj. So those of you who are familiar with Gaura Leela, then you'll remember all these personalities and the roles they have played there. So they're all the residents of Sri Kanda. Also, Narahari Sarkar Thakur is the guru of Lochandas Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Mangal. Mm-hmm. Now, this group is very special. Why? Because they call Mahaprabhu. They don't call him Sri Krishna Chaitanya or Mahaprabhu. When they speak of Mahaprabhu, they call him Gadadhara Pranadan. the life and soul of Gadadhara Pandits. Because this group of Shrikant, the Shrikanda Basis, their speciality is that their particular realization is that the dearest, the person who's most dear to Mahaprabhu out of everyone in the whole world is Gadadhara Pandit. So they're the special group of followers of Gadadhara Pandit, Radharani herself incarnated among the Panchatattva. So they have very confidential moods. So it's explained in Gauragana Desha Deepika that Narahari Sakar Thakur is the incarnation of one Radha Priya Sakhi, a dear Sakhi of Radharani, called Madhumati. Madhumati. And Narahari's Thakur Seva is Chamar Seva. And so it's mentioned here. He used to fan Mahaprabhu. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the song is mentioning how he's fanning with the Chamar. Now, so Narahari Adhikari. Narahari Adi, the next intimate associate of Narahari, so Narahari Adi, etc., is Sri Mukunda. Now there are two Mukundas, if not more, in Mahaprabhu's Lila. Sri Mukunda and Mukunda Datta. So this Sri Mukunda, he is a resident of Shrikanda. He's a doctor, an Ayurvedic doctor by profession, and he's Narahari's older brother. Who is he? He's the incarnation of Brinda Devi. He's Brinda Devi's incarnation in Gaura Lila. So here, Narahari Adi means Narahari, who's the incarnation of Madhumati, one gopi, and Mukunda, who's the incarnation of Brinda in Gaura Lila. Okay. So then, there's a nice pastime in Chaitanya Charanamrita with Mukunda. Once he went to the king, he was the doctor of the Ayurvedic doctor of the king. And when he walked up the steps going to the king's throne, someone was fanning the king with a peacock feather fan. And just seeing the peacock feather, reminding him so intensely of Krishna, he just immediately, internally went into Krishna's Leela. But his body that was in this world just became senseless and fell boom, 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 boom down to the bottom of the steps. And the king immediately got up with his associates and said, Mukunda, are you okay? And when he came back in sense, instead of revealing that he went into ecstasy just seeing the peacock feathers because his love was so deep, he just said, oh, and I have some epilepsy. I have an attack of epilepsy now and then, but I'll be okay. So, Mukunda has a son called Raghunandan, and it's famously mentioned that they would come to Puri every year for Ratiyatra. And one year, Mahaprabhu, he said to Mukunda, are you Raghunandan's father, or is Raghunandan your father? So Mukunda is the father of Raghunandan. But Mahaprabhu laughingly, he said, who is the father? You're the father, or Raghunandan is the father? So then Mukunda said, oh, Raghunandan is my father. What's the meaning? Then Mahaprabhu was very, very pleased. And Mahaprabhu said, Krishna Bhakti Ja Hoite Se Guru Hoi. From whom we get devotion to Krishna, that is Guru. Now the meaning of this pastime is this, that Mukunda, his son Raghunandan, was a small boy. And one day he told Raghunandan, go and offer these ladus to our deity, and then we'll honor Mahaprasadam. So then Raghunandan, he went, the little boy, and he didn't know all the proper mantras or anything. He just got the plate and he said, Krishna, eat this. And so then the deity just ate everything and there was nothing left. So then when Mukunda came to Raghunandan, he said, so, bring the prasadam. He said, well, Krishna ate it all. And he's looking at his little kid and thinking, the deity ate it all. Okay. You want me to believe that? So then the next day when he gave him the ladus, he said, offer these ladus. Then he was hiding behind a curtain. And his little son came up to the deity and said, hey Gopal, eat these ladus. So then and then he saw the deity reached out, took the ladu and bit it. And then Mukunda came into the room, and then the deity was standing there like that with a half bitten ladu in his hand, trying to not get caught. And apparently that deity is still there with a half bitten ladu, still worshipped to this day. So Mukunda, he was very humble. He was thinking, in our family, whatever bhakti we have, it comes from our son. Our little boy has just got so much natural, spontaneous devotion to Krishna. So when Mahaprabhu knew this, so when Mahaprabhu saw Mukunda, he said, is he your son and you're his father, or is he your father and you're his son? So he said, I think he's my father and I'm his son. Because Guru is like father. Then Mahaprabhu said, yes. Krishna bhakti ya hoi te se guru hoi. What's the definition of guru? Guru just means the person who makes you fall in love with Krishna. That's guru. Understand? So, very sweet pastime. And so Raghunandan, in Krishna Leela, in Dwarka Leela, he's Prajumna, who is a manifestation of Kamdev, Kamdev himself, transcendental Kamdev. And in Braj Leela, he's one Priyasaka, very intimate cowherd boy in Braj Leela. So here we have, in the first line, Narahari Adikori Chamara Dulai. Now you know the meaning of this line, and who to meditate on and think about in this line of Gaur Arti. Now next line. Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Ghosh Adi Gai. It says, Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Ghosh Adi Gai. So what does that mean? Now this one is more complex, because there are so many Mukundas and Sanjays, and there's even a Sanjaya Mukunda. A Mukunda Sanjay in Gaur Leela. So we'll go through it step by step. So first of all, in Navadvip Leela, there are two Brahmins who are very wealthy. One of them is Buddhimanta Khan, and the other one, his name is Mukunda Sanjay. So when Nimai Pandit was a scholar at school, he used to teach. He learned from his teacher, and then he made a group of students, because in those days the teachers would teach the students, and when the student would become advanced, then that student would also have so many students that teach the younger boys. So Nimai Pandit also used to teach. And the Tol, or the Sanskrit school, and they didn't have in those days big buildings, you know, you go to the university and there's a big stone building. The teacher would sit down underneath a tree or in someone's house with his little group of students, and it was very, very personal. And so Nimai Pandit had his Sanskrit Tol in the house of Mukunda Sanjay. So here, one might remember Mukunda Sanjay. But especially, it's mentioned here, Adi Gai, that these are singers. So Sanjay and Mukunda and Vasu Ghosh were three famous, very famous for their singing in Navadvip Dham. Especially Mukunda, this is not Sri Mukunda, who is an incarnation of Brinda, but this is Mukunda Datta. So Mukunda Datta, there are so many wonderful pastimes with his singing. For example, you know, Mukunda Datta used to live in the district of Chittagong, which is where Pundrik Vidyanidhi was from. So when Mukunda Datta was staying in Navadvip, once he said to Gadadha, hey, I know a great devotee. His name is Pundrik Vidyanidhi, let's go and see him. So then it was Gadadha Pandit who went with this Mukunda Datta, to see Pundrik Vidyanidhi. And he saw Pundrik Vidyanidhi with all fragrant oil in his hair, wearing silk clothes, lying down on a silken bed with all cushions around him, people fanning him, chewing pan and spitting it in a golden spittoon, you know. And Gadadha Pandit looked at him and thought, he's just a sense enjoyer, he's not a devotee. But then what happened? It was Mukunda Datta, who's famous for his singing, he sang, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam, this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Pundrik Vidyanidhi became mad and he started to tear off his clothes and he kicked all the pillows off his bed and rolled onto the floor, knocked his spittoon over, and he was going mad in ecstasy. And then Gadadha Pandit realized, actually he's a great devotee and I've committed an offense in my heart. So that was Mukunda. And there are other pastimes in when Mahaprabhu visited Navadvip, and he was dancing with Haridas Thakur, and after taking sannyas, and he returned to Navadvip, and he danced with Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya, etc. At that time, Mukunda Datta sang for Mahaprabhu. What is that one? Oh yeah, he said, Kanu Prema Bishamora Tanumana Jare. Oh, the song is Ha ha prana priya saki kina hoila mora kanu prema vishamora tano mana jare kina hoila more kanu prema vishamora tano mana jare. Mahaprabhu was absorbed in Radharani's separation from Krishna, and Mukunda sang this beautiful verse. So it's where Radharani is speaking to a friend, "Oh my dear Sakhi, what hasn't happened to me? What calamity didn't happen to me in my life? My whole body is burning from drinking the poison of Krishna's love." When you drink a poison, you know, it might taste good, but then when the poison starts to act, then you just begin to burn. So Radharani is speaking like this. She drank Krishna's love thinking it tastes good, but now he's left her and gone to Mathura. She's burning. And when Mahaprabhu heard this, he went to pieces. And all the 33 Sanchari Bhavs attacked him at once. And it said that the Sanchari Bhavs, 33 Sanchari Bhavs, it was as if 33 mad elephants had rushed into a field of sugarcane and begun fighting with each other. And the field of sugarcane was completely decimated. So Mahaprabhu's body was like a field of sugarcane into which the 33 wild elephants of the Sanchari Bhavs began fighting with each other. And Mahaprabhu was trembling. Even the devotees couldn't hold him, and he fell to the ground. So this is the service that Mukunda does through his singing. So when it's stated here, Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Ghosh Adigai, Mukunda Datta is singing, then just think what his singing is doing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His singing can make the 33 Sanchari Bhavs attack his body like the wild elephants fighting in a field of sugarcane. So this singing is not anything ordinary. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is here saying, Sanja Mukunda Vasu Ghosh Adi Gai. Also here, Vasu Ghosh Adi. Vasu Ghosh Adi. So, before we go there, Mukunda Datta is, in Braj who is he? Madhukanta. Very often I like to tell the pastimes of Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta, who tell sweet Braj Leela in Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, he's Madhukanta. Madhukanta, Madhu means sweet or honey, and Kanta means throat. Who's speaking and singing is sweeter than honey. He's the coward boy named Madhukanta. And Radha and Krishna, all Braj Vasis, get together in the evening times in Nanda Maharaj's little theatre. They get together in a theatre and they see performances, and they also have Harikatha there. And Madhukanta sings and tells Harikatha, and in Gaura Leela he has come as Mukunda Datta.
The Kurukshetra pastimes that you told in
the temple. Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta, yeah. So he's a coward. And Mukunda Datta's older brother is Vasudev Datta. And Vasudev Datta is another cowboy called Madhuvrata. And sometimes Vasudev Datta is considered to be the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. He's the one who begged Mahaprabhu, "Oh Mahaprabhu, give me a benediction." "Yes, what do you want?" "Give me the sins of every living entity. Give me the karma of every living entity in the universe so that they can all be liberated and I'll just take their karma on myself." And Mahaprabhu said, I cannot. You have defeated me. By your love, you have defeated me. So he's Madhubrata. That's Vasudev, the older brother of Mukunda. So he would be included here. Now Vasu Ghosh Adigai also includes Vasu Ghosh, etc. means Vasu Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh, and Madhav Ghosh. They're three brothers, and they were born in a high class Kayasta family, and they are the incarnations. Govinda Ghosh is Kalavati, a gopi called Kalavati. Madhav Ghosh is called the incarnation of Rasulas, a gopi called Rasulas. And Vasudev Ghosh is the incarnation of Gunatunga Gopi. Now these three gopis are especially trained by Vishakasakhi to sing the songs that Vishakasakhi has composed. So these three, Vishakasakhi composes the songs, she trains these three, and these three, especially at the time of Rasalila, they sing for Radha and Krishna. So just as Kalavati, Rasulas and Gunatunga sing for Radha and Krishna, the songs composed by Vishakasakhi, in Gauralila, the three of them appear as Govinda Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh, and Vasu Ghosh and they sing for Mahaprabhu, Vasu Ghosh Adi Gai. Now, there are some very beautiful pastimes about these personalities. It's said that Govinda Ghosh, he wasn't married, but Mahaprabhu told him that he must marry. So he got married, and he had a young wife and a son, but both his wife and his son, they passed away untimely. So when Govinda Ghosh got old, his whole life, he'd been serving a deity of Gopinath in a place called Agradweep. And he was serving the Gopinath deity, and when he got old, he had no son. He had no wife and no son, his wife had passed away, so he couldn't have any more children. And just like in India, an ordinary person, they're worried, if you don't have a son, then when you pass away, who'll do your Shraddha ceremony? You know, that your descendants, when you pass away, they have to offer oblations on your behalf. And then if you've done any sins in your life, then you'll be released from any hellish suffering and go to heaven. So this is called the Shraddha ceremony. So obviously he's a pure Vaishnava, so he's not going to go to hell for any sins or anything. But out of humility, when he got old and he was about to die, he was crying, "Oh, I have no son. Who will do Shraddha ceremony for me when I pass away?" And he was weeping. And one day when he was doing puja of his Gopinath deity, then his deity spoke to him and says, "Don't worry, I'll do your Shraddha ceremony when you pass away." So then when Govinda Ghosh disappeared, then his Gopinath deity did his Shraddha ceremony for him. And now, even today in Agradweep, that deity of Gopinath is there, and all the villagers come and they have a ceremony where Gopinath does the Shraddha ceremony for Govinda Ghosh every year, to remember that. Very sweet, natural pastime of love and humility there in Govinda Ghosh. So, now, just to give us just a brief insight, into the mood of Govinda Ghosh. He wrote many songs. So I have transcribed and translated here a few of the songs of Govinda Ghosh so we can see what kind of bhav he has. So this particular song is a song depicting the pastime in Navadvipa. You know, Nimai Pandit was a scholar, then he was converted, became a pure devotee in his Leela. And he did kirtan everywhere with his associates, like Govinda Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh, Vasu Ghosh. They would sing for him and he would dance and thousands of people would join in and everyone would be just drowning in the endless ocean of Krishna Prem. So beautiful. And, but then, something happened. One day, Gadadhar Pandit quickly came running to Mukunda and said to him, "Pranera Mukunda he kiya jishu nilu achambite." So in this song, Gadadhar Pandit is approaching Mukunda and he says, "Oh, what did I suddenly hear today? What news did I suddenly hear today? Kaiti Paranajai, if I speak this, then I will die. My life will leave me. Mukhi nahi bahirai, the words are not coming from my mouth. Then finally he said it. Shri Gauranga Charibe Navadvip. Gauranga is going to leave Navadvip. It's before Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas. He says, Ihata na janimo rasakali milon gora avanato moti achibose. I did not know this, but this morning I saw Gora, and he was sitting alone with his head bowed down in thought, and streams of tears were flowing from his eyes and washing over his chest, and his moon-like face had lost its luster. When I saw him like that, then my heart began to flutter, and I could not ask him anything. For a moment I composed myself, and I humbly asked him the question. And that is what he told me, that he was going to leave Navadvip. Why? Because he's thinking he would take sannyas. So becoming disturbed, I ran right here to you. I was helpless, I ran here to you, without saying anything further to him. Now I've told you this, do what you can do. As far as I am concerned, I think I have no hope of continuing to stay alive. So when he heard this, Mukunda, when Gadara Pandit said to this Mukunda, to Mukunda, then Mukunda, he began to cry. And he could no longer stay calm as he looked at the face of Gadara. Govinda Ghosh says, let it not be, for if he leaves, I will not live. So this is very beautiful Leela Kirtan of Mahaprabhu, of perhaps the day before, just the day before Mahaprabhu was about to leave Navadvip. Only a few people knew, Mukunda, Gadadha, the Lokanath Das Goswami he knew also. Just a few associates knew, others did not know anything. And they couldn't say anything, but they spoke with each other. And so this verse is filled with Bhavi Viraha. He hasn't gone yet, but they're feeling the intense separation that is to come. They're anticipating separation from him. And that's intensifying their love so much. Very, very beautiful song. So that's one song by Govinda Ghosh. Here's another song by Govinda Ghosh. Hedi reina dia bosi kara moki chao bahu pasariya gora chanda firao. It means, this is the moment when Mahaprabhu is leaving Navadvip. He's saying, O residents of Navadvip, who are you staring at? Spread your arms out and stop Gora. Make him come home. Why? Tosa bori keachi koribu nija kori keja chai dibe premo dekide katare. Who will grab you and hold you closely to his chest? And who will come to you and beg you, take love for Krishna? Then Mahaprabhu used to walk around Navadvip and grab people and hug them and say, love Krishna. So who will do this now? He's saying, Kishela hoya hoya, kishela hoya. A spear has pierced my heart. And the Paranaputali, very beautiful. There's no word for this. Paranaputali means like a doll. You know, children have little dolls that they carry around with them all the time. And pran means your life air. So life air controls everything that you do. And it's the closest thing to your heart. So he's saying that Mahaprabhu is my Paranaputali. He's like the lovable doll of my life airs. I love him so much. He says, Paranaputali, Navadvipa Charijai. He's leaving Navadvip. Paranaputali, Navadvipa Charijai. He's leaving Navadvip. He's going away. He's gone away, actually. He said, now he's saying, Ara na jibo mora gorangjepa. No longer will we be able to run to him and sit down next to him. Ara na karibo mora kirtana vilas. No longer will we dance through Navadvip. No longer will we assemble in the house of Srivas Thakur and have kirtans all night. So what shall we do? He said, Kandaye bokata gona ubuka vidariya. Pasana Govinda Ghosh Naja Milia. All of the devotees are weeping and their hearts are being torn apart. But this Govinda Ghosh, his heart is made of stone and he cannot go and join them. Cannot go and be with them because he's feeling as if he has no love. And so when we sing the song, then we should, oh, we can give a curse on ourselves. Oh, Diktan, Diktan, fire on me, fire on me. Huh? Because hearing this guitar, Mahaprabhu is leaving Navadvip, my heart is not breaking. I must mean that I don't have a heart. I have been created without a heart, but with a stone in place of a heart. So these are some of the songs of Govinda Ghosh. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying in his kirtan here, Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Ghosh Adigai. These intimate associates, the playmates of Mahaprabhu, for whom Mahaprabhu is there, Prana Putali. They are singing here in this kirtan. So Sankha Bhaji, Ganta Bhaji, Bhaji Karatao, Madhura Medanga Bhaji Paramarasao. In this kirtan, it's tumultuous. Conches are blowing, bells are ringing, bell is called Sarvadyamai. It said that if you get the sound of every musical instrument in the universe and you mix it together in a recording studio, the sound that you'll be left with is the sound of a bell. Bong. It's called Sarvavadyamai. That the sound of every musical instrument in the universe is present in the bell or the gong. So Sankha Bhaji, Ganta Bhaji, Bhaji Karatal, the cartels, the gongs, the bells, the conch shells, and Madhura Mridanga Bhaji Paramarasal, and the sound of the mridanga is Paramarasal, supremely full of rasa. Why is it full of rasa? Because when Radha and Krishna dance in Raslila, they dance to the beats that we play on the mridanga. The mridanga, when someone learns to play mridanga, they learn by mantra. So all the different sounds we could play with this finger and this finger and this one and this one and this one and these sounds, they all have mantras for them. And so these mantras are common to the mridanga, and also when someone is dancing, then they dance to the rhythms and they say the mantras that they're dancing to. So when Radha Krishna come in Raslila, they compete with each other in dancing competitions, and as they're dancing, then they say the mantras of the beats that they're dancing to, very, very complicated. So Radha, you can see in the Astakali Lila Padatis of our Sampradaya, the mantras are there, and those mridanga players who are very expert, they can actually play those beats, the very complex beats that Radha Krishna compete with each other in the dancing. And they're going brrr, saying all these mantras quickly and dancing to the rhythms. And then, oh, then it's Krishna's turn to dance. Then it's Vishakha's turn to dance and Lalita's turn to dance. And in this way, the Rasleela is going on. And therefore it said here, there, Madhura Mridanga Bhaje Paramarasal, in this Gora Kirtan, all the mridanga beats are so full of rasa, and they're udipana, they stimulate the remembrance of Radha Krishna's leelas. So, Bahu Koti Jandarjini Badana Ujwal, the face of the Mahaprabhu is more effulgent than millions of moons, and Galadeshi Bonamala, he's wearing a garland around his neck which is effulgent, Jalamala, it's glittering, shining. So we know from the Premambhoja Makarandakya Stotram of Raghunath Das Goswami that all the clothes and ornaments of Radha and Krishna are the embodiments of different moods. So in the same way, Mahaprabhu's clothes and ornaments, they're not made of, you know, 50% polyester or anything, but they're actually made of various moods. So a garland of flowers, Radharani wears a garland of flowers, and there Radharani's prominent 24, the flowers are Radharani's prominent 24 qualities. So we can infer from this that Mahaprabhu's garland is the garland of all of his qualities. And he would have all the qualities of Radha and all the qualities of Krishna. And no wonder his garland is Banamali Kori Jalamala. Wow. No wonder his garland is glittering and shining. Because all the qualities, the personal attributes of the character of Radha and Krishna are manifest in the form of his garland. So, Shiva Sukha Narada, we're going quickly now because we're running out of time. Shiva Sukha Narada, Premi Gada Gada, Bhakti Vinoda Deki Gaurara Sampada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I'm seeing this. And because he's seeing it, and he's written it down, then giving it to us, it has a power. It's like a mantra. If you receive a mantra from a person who hasn't realized the mantra, it will not have power. But if someone has realization, and then they describe their realization, then when you repeat what they have given to you, then that also gives you the capacity to see what they have seen. The vision is imparted in the form of mantra, and therefore we sing this description because it's Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's realization of what he's seen in the Navadvip Yoga Pit. And he saw that Shiva was there, Shukadev Goswami was there, Narad was there, and they're all Premi Gada Gada. That means? No, Gada Gada means... Gada Gada. It's an onomatopoeic word. Gada Gada. Because when you have so much love, you can hardly speak in the throat will go like that. So in Sanskrit and Bengali, it's called Gada Gada. So Shiva, Shukadev Goswami and Narad, they usually sing, you know? Narad Muni Bajai Bina Radhika Ramana Name. Narad sings. But here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Narad can't sing. Why? Because his throat is just choking with love. He's God, God. Not only Narad, but Shukadev Goswami and also Lord Shiva. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is seeing this. And therefore we're singing this song and meditating on this amazing explosion of transcendental love in the form of the arti of Gaurachanda in the Navadvip Yoga Pit. And then just as our meditation upon the Navadvip Yoga, the Mayapur, sorry, Yoga Pit is complete, then what happens? Jayo Jayo Radha Krishna Jugala Milan Aroti Karaye Lalita Adi Sakya. All of a sudden, now it transforms and becomes Vrindavan. Vrindavan Yoga Pit, and there Radha and Krishna are together, and the arti is being performed by Lalita and the Sakis like this. So this is the method by which the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can enter into Braj Lila through Gaura Lila. Gaura Premanande! So, meditating on the Navadvip Yoga Pit, let us have a kirtan and then conclude our program this evening. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.